this is Uwe Boll. If you want to help support the podcast on this network, go to rogueintel.com/support. Thank you and go fuck yourself.
Warning. The following show contains harsh language and may contain certain content, opinions, and or explicit humor that might be interpreted as objectionable by those without a thick skin. This show is recommended for a mature audience.
Hello and welcome to Rogue Intel Prime, episode number 74 for Friday, August 28th, 2015. I'm your host, Duff, and with me as always is my compadre, Chris Tricola. What's up, brother?
Your compadre from another padre.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
I guess we can roll with that.
Yeah, that's the first thing that popped in there. They're not all winners.
Nah. But, you know, most of them are. We've also got a special guest with us, Josh Crane from Craft Vapory.
Hey guys, what's
Hello,
up?
Hello, Josh.
You know, I technically you're also brothers from another mother.
Yeah,
well, right. Madre would have also worked there.
Madre, padre.
Just saying.
See, but we're from the East Coast. We don't actually technically have to learn Spanish.
Eventually, we'll all have to, right? Just in time for the inevitable takeover by China.
Yeah, what's up with that?
See, I'm almost down with the eventual takeover of China, because then we'll get to talk like the people from Firefly.
I for one, welcome our new overlords.
I would so be a brown coat, though. I can't even hide it.
Brown coat? Was it mean shit your coat?
No, it's a Firefly thing. Never mind. Let's move on and act like it didn't happen. So, Josh, thanks for coming on today. We want to talk to you quite extensively about your new line of juice that is out. And we, of course, want to talk to you about your fabulous company, Craft Vapory. We usually start the show with a little bit of current events. Are you game for that?
Absolutely.
All right. Chris, I know you've got some stories you want to talk about. So what do you say we get into them, their headlines?
All right. Now, first up, I'm going to start off this article with a question.
Okay.
Do you know what the dirtiest thing in your house is?
Oh, I know.
And Josh, for 200.
That would be my baby.
Close. Very close.
Your cell phone.
Yes. Your cell phone is the dirtiest thing that's not only probably in your house, but always on you at all times.
Is that true?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They did an episode of MythBusters. They actually proved the cell phones are dirtier than toilets.
Oh,
because of all the they say there's like 7,000 types of bacteria on it at any given point in time.
Amazing. So,
cruising the interwebs earlier, and I found this device that looks like a little toaster, but it's for your phone. And you basically pop it in there, and a UV light kicks on, and it completely sanitizes your smartphone without the need for actually washing it. Because, you know, water and phones don't mix that well.
No.
So for the germaphobes everywhere, this is the new hot item.
Does it clean my baby?
I don't think your baby could fit in there.
Can we make a baby-sized toaster? Yeah.
Can we supersize it?
Well, yeah. I don't know the effects of UV lights and infants, but
they'd get a tan.
Well, some sunscreen, I would be game
to experiment because he is a filthy fucker. but this is amazing, right? Not having not known that my cell phone was that dirty, now I don't want to touch it, so I have to get one of these immediately. What happens when said dirty baby sticks a sandwich in one of these slots at the top?
You're not going to fit a sandwich in there, man. They're about the size of your phone.
Okay.
I know they fit iPhones. I'm not sure if they have a slot big enough for my S5, you know? So
do I have to run some form of – is there an app that I have to run on the phone to make the toaster work?
It says there is an app to switch on in your smartphone. You place the phone in the toaster and press down on the lever, and then – it starts up. So yes, there's an app that comes with it. I don't know why it has to be active.
But... yeah, that's weird to me. But amazing. And now I have to have one of this for a problem I didn't even know I had.
Yeah, right.
See, it's a problem that I knew I had. I just don't really care. I'm one of those people, just like my co-host here, Chris. I will gladly sit there and like play solitaire and check Facebook while taking a big, huge dump. And I know there's fecal coliform all over my phone. Just don't care.
Well, see, that's about the only time I check Facebook. So,
yeah, I know.
All right. Well, my inner germaphobe needs a shower. But I definitely need one of these devices.
Yeah, I think it would be nice. What is the price of said device?
They didn't say the price as far as I saw. It's still prototype phase. It's not quite out on the market yet.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm reading here that it says that they are going to roll them out in coffee shops for people while they wait for their hot drinks. But I kind of want this at home. I feel like there's a lot of hours between sitting on the toilet and my first stop at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a personal one.
Well, if you are in need of one now and don't want to wait for the prototype to be available to the public, there's a similar company out there called Phone Soap. That's just how it sounds, Phone Soap. And they have a charger that is also a UV light bay. And you can get it for about $60. And it does the exact same thing while it charges your phone.
So what is it, like a tray you slap the phone on and it does the wireless charging?
It looks like a tanning bed. As a matter of fact, I'll post it to show notes and the live chat.
So it's got a lid that closes down on it, because otherwise you're going to have to flip your phone halfway through.
No, it's got a lid. It's like a tanning bed.
Or something.
It's like a tanning bed.
Oh. I'll tan my phone, toast my phone. Never gets it clean. I got these spray bottles of isopropyl alcohol at work, and I have to clean my phone all the time before I go in the clean room.
Yeah.
So I know my phones are at least cleaner than everybody else's. I'm not saying they're fucking clean, but a little bit better. So I'd still like one of these toasters.
Well, what happens when you spill beer on it? Because I know you're a drinker.
We'll see. I don't think it does anything for the stickiness from the sugar and the alcohol being left behind.
See, I would need something that does something for the stickiness, because I am a beer drinker.
Well, you also have that problem with general, moisture and electronics don't mix. I don't care if it's beer, water, liquor, whatever, dude. It's no bueno for electronics.
Yeah.
Baby drool.
Baby drool is baby gnarly. Drool,
vomits. Firsthand, wasn't a
I
baby.
I can't get over how often my kid puts my phone in his mouth. And now,
don't they just put everything in their mouths?
Yeah, basically. Basically.
Man.
Hey, all right. Hey, Josh, I have a question for you. I know that Chris and I partake. Are you a drinker?
I, from time to time.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a drinking aficionado, but I appreciate a cocktail or a beer from time to time.
All right. Now, when it comes to beer, are you into fruity flavors?
Like
shandies?
No, I'm more of an IPA kind of guy.
Haha, Dogfish 90 is one of my favorite beers.
There you go. My partner, Matt, is actually a craft beer aficionado and runs an Instagram account where he pairs craft beers with vaping liquids.
Well, aren't you special?
Yeah, well, he is. Well, yeah. I just know him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I ask that is because there is a Pennsylvania brewery. Pennsylvania's East Coast, so you might not recognize it.
I know it's over there somewhere near New Jersey.
Somewhere out there. In between Jersey and Maryland, actually. Anyway, there is
part of it.
There is a brewery out of Pennsylvania called Tired Hands Brewery that has been known for unconventional brews. They're almost like Dogfish Head, except weirder. And when I say weird, I mean really weird. Their newest limited batch, Ecto Cooler Beer.
Oh my God, I remember the high C Ecto Coolers, dude.
Yes. Ecto Cooler was definitely some crazy, crazy stuff. I don't know that it would pair well with alcohol, though. And I mean, yes, it would pair very well with tequila and triple sec. But no, not so much with a beer.
I'd have to try it to know. I mean, the original Ecto Cooler was like every fruit flavored, like citrusy thing thrown into something and then made green, right?
Yeah. Well, it was essentially the non-carbonated version of every kid's dream of getting to go over to the vending machine and hit the tap on every single flavor.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know that I want like an everything beer like that, but I'd try it. I mean, I'd try anything once.
Well,
yeah, it's about the way I feel about it, man. It's as much as I love that stuff as a kid, it's just kind of like in the beer.
I don't know. I mean, hey, I'm close enough. I could probably just go drive over there and get some. I am about 15 minutes from PA.
Well, I think the problem is that they make so little of it that it probably sells out, you know, and that's what happens with all these craft beers is that if you're not in the know and in the circle, you're never getting a bottle of it unless you're picking it up, according to Matt anyway, you know, secondhand or like kind of gray market for really expensive. Some of these bottles of beer go for, you know, like $100 or more.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I love craft beers, and I'd never pay that for a beer.
And the most expensive beer I've ever had was an IPA 120, and it was $10 for a 12-ounce bottle.
Yeah, I tend to prefer cheap beers.
Well, how cheap are we talking?
You know, I mean, in my day, like, Natty Light was
uncommon. Hangover in a can.
Well, you know, in college, it's like there's only so much money for ramen if you have a beer budget. So if you do your beer on the cheap, I went to college in Florida. So
lots of cheap beer 30 then.
I do.
Never again. Dude, at 20, that fucked me up. Literally like, I had a good time because it was like just over O'Doul's in alcohol percentage. But, dude, it's just the next day I felt like I got hit by a truck.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's mostly the reason why I'm just a casual drinker now, because I feel like I've gotten it all out of my system by going to school in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you are into some slightly more expensive beer, the Tired Hands Brewing Company does have Necto Cooler, and it is an orange-flavored, green-colored beer that is fondly remembered by kids of the 80s and 90s. But it doesn't really fit in with that whole cheap beer budget if you still, you know, maintain that.
Well, obviously it's not a PBR, but I'm still just tripping on the flavor. Like, really, they're putting Ecto Cooler in beer. I want to try it once, but it's definitely something I never expected I'd be trying.
Now.
So, fuck it, yeah. More of this, less of everything else. I want a bunch of shit that I've never thought of. Wait, did this say Count Chocula beer?
Yeah. That I told you they did weird stuff, man.
Chocolate beers are actually really good.
Yeah.
I've had Chocolate Box, but like Count Chocula?
Yeah, chocolate is good in beer if it's unsweetened. Like, yeah, I draw the line at
the marshmallow.
The head.
There's a marshmallow flavor in it, too.
It's got marshmallow head.
Interesting.
I'm guessing. I that's not entirely accurate, I'm sure, but
well,
you need a lot of money for that kind of thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
You got any couch money?
Well, I found $50,000 under my pillow this morning. You know. A lot of couch money. I'm going to go buy a truck.
There you go.
Well, apparently a bunch of people actually did find $50,000 in cash amongst a crazy other list of little treasures in their floor.
Do tell.
So, yeah. There were these two people doing like do-it-yourself housework, and they found a safe while renovating their kitchen.
Okay. So and, by a bunch of people, you mean two?
Well, that's what I said. Two people were doing a bunch of housework.
Okay. I'll save that for the replay.
We'll save it for the replay, yeah. But so they decide to renovate the kitchen by themselves. It's just, you know, like, hey, we need a new sink. Let's do this. And they're tearing up the floor, and they find a safe in the floor. Huh. And what did they say? It was like it's one of those old safes. You know, it's not anything fireproof or anything like that. But they opened it up, and they said it looks like 20 years old. They found wads of cash, an old book, a rare bottle of bourbon, and most of the cash is in like $100 bills and stuff. Wow. But yeah, dude, it's. I would love to find that somewhere.
I think I'm gonna like rip apart my kitchen. That sounds like it could happen. I mean, the house is so shitty. Something's bound to be good in it.
Yeah, maybe. I have a basement in my house that's unfinished. And the house is pretty old, like 1930s. So the first question my dad asked me was if I thought anything was buried under the house. And as I'm looking at this story, it's not just any bottle of bourbon they found. They found a bottle of James Tepper bourbon.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, what is that, old time?
It's the guy who invented the old fashioned.
Old fashioned, okay.
Right. So this is like, you know, for a bourbon drinker, that's a hefty find. That bottle probably go for a couple grand. Just, yeah. You know, but I mean, fuck it, because you just
drink it.
You just found
50 grand, so why not just drink the bottle?
Exactly.
Even more perplexing is the book that was found, which is actually called A Guide for the Perplexed, with clues inside of it saying, I have a book you must read. I've underlined a few key passages, your friend Vincent. So maybe there's more treasure to be found after they kind of go down the rabbit hole with this Guide to the Perplexed.
Yeah, like, ooh, like a series of clues and shit leading to another treasure.
Yeah.
That would be so awesome. I love shit like that.
And did you also notice that the money was bundled up with these like old pieces of twine?
Yeah, I did notice that.
Like it looks older than 20 years old. You know what I mean? Like I know they say it looks about 20 years old, but like we look up when James Pepper died and they stopped making that bourbon. But like it just looks very old timey to me.
It really does. I mean, like, the book was at least published in 77, so you know the safe had to have been accessible after that point.
Right.
But
it's crazy. I mean, I did a reno, and I lost about $50,000. but finding 50 grand, I mean, I would have at least broken even, which would have been fantastic. So, yeah. You know, mazel tov to them.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, right on. Hey, I know you're in the show notes, Josh. Our next article is right up your alley. Did you want to take the lead on this?
I'll take the lead, but I kind of feel like Chris should, just so that he, you know, potentially gives up smoking.
Bazinga.
Basically the largest health watchdog group in England, Public Health England, which is sponsored by the UK Department of Health, came out with this. They were essentially forced to look at vaping in a very serious way. UK has a very large vaping community. And smoking is the number one killer over there. It's very high penetration in terms of the population for smokers. So they were initially negative towards vaping, and at the, you know, the request of the government and the urging of the public, they were forced to relook at it. What they found was that, essentially, the most boiled down version of it is that e-cigarettes are essentially 95% less harmful than traditional cigarettes.
Yes.
And they went as far to recommend that that doctors prescribe e-cigs to smokers, and that the National Health Service, you know, because you pay a lot of taxes in England so that they pay for all your health care, that the National Health Service cover the cost of smokers switching to e-cigs. So, you know, and that's essentially the first time that a government agency anywhere has come out and said, yep, clearly much less harmful than cigarettes, still some potential harm. So they gave it the 95% instead of 100%, but very minor in comparison to the ills of tobacco cigarettes. And hey, let's stop killing ourselves and beating around the bush. You doctors should just be prescribing this and the government should be paying for it. That would solve all of our smoking problems in England. So yeah, that's great news if you live in England.
Yeah, hopefully it'll trickle across the pond pretty quickly because, like, especially in Maryland, they're trying to ban it everywhere that they can. And quite honestly, if they end up banning it altogether. Like, we won't even be able to buy it unless we want to be pirates. And that's just no way to not smoke. You were a smoker, right, Josh?
Yeah, 22 years. I smoked almost 2 packs a day towards the end there.
That sounds familiar. Now I'm sure you've tried the lozenges and the gum and the patches and
none of it worked.
No,
zero. And ultimately, look, a lot of people there's a lot of misperception around these bans. A lot of the bans that are going around are essentially saying, these are like cigarettes. You can only use them where cigarettes are allowed, right? That's no smoking prohibition has ever stopped people from smoking ever in the history of smoking in all of smoking town. Like, it doesn't work. So it won't work for e-cigs. You know, these people saying, okay, well, you can't use that inside. You can't use that in a restaurant. You can't use that in a park, which, by the way, I think is the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, it's open air.
Yeah, and their argument is, well, we don't want the kids exposed to it, but ridiculous. Anyway, ultimately, I think they just don't want to really understand it, so it's very easy for them to lump it in with cigarettes and just say, okay, well, it's going to be regulated like cigarettes. The problem is that there's a lot of bad that's gone on from cigarettes, and so cigarettes are subject to a lot of extra taxation and extra regulation because they're known to be as bad as they are. And what this study is ultimately saying is that they're 95% less dangerous. So if we had sensible government, which we don't.
I wish we did.
But if we had sensible government, then I would expect there to be 95% less regulation of these products and 95% less taxation of these products. You know, I'm all for taxing electronic cigarettes and vaping to cover the cost of regulating it, and also to cover the cost of any harms that it introduces to the public. Clearly, there's a harm introduced by cigarettes. That's where a lot of those taxes are supposed to go. The reality is they don't, but they're supposed to be combating that. And, I'm okay with being taxed, but I don't want to pay cigarette taxes for e-cigarettes. I don't want to be considered cigarettes or tobacco.
No, because they're not
everything
cigarettes.
My industry's done has been to say, fuck cigarettes. And fuck smoking. So to be lumped in with them is insulting and I think bad for the industry. So we'll see how it all sorts out here in the U.S. But at least in England, it looks like it's going the right direction. So maybe I'll be moving there soon. We'll see.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but isn't that like the other 5% of that 95%? Isn't that like allergic reactions and shit?
Look, you're inhaling a hot gas, and depending on what device you're using it at and what temperatures you're using it at, there could be some harmful stuff in there, but nowhere near as much harmful stuff that, there are some allergic reactions. Some people are allergic to propylene glycol, which is in a lot of these things. Some people have very adverse reactions to nicotine, but they would have that same reaction from a cigarette. There are harms that could be associated with it. At the end of the day, it's not air. It's a hot gas, and they found it's kind of as bad as sitting in a sauna for 10 minutes is kind of the same as vaping in terms of the respiratory effect. So stay out of saunas
And vape when you have a cold.
Yeah, I mean, and look, if anybody's got any issues or concerns with vaping, they shouldn't do it, right? At the end of the day, it's still America. And, we essentially want people to be able to still have some freedom of choice here while that's still a real thing.
Yeah.
Well, not jaded at all about our government at all.
Oh, no, not one bit. They're great.
No. Yeah. Hey, what's up, preacher? I'm the choir. It's nice to meet you.
Yes. Good to meet you.
Well, best of luck on the new legislation in the UK. Hopefully it does come over here quite rapidly. Because we're all vapors here, except for Chris.
Now. Hey, I'm working on being a vapor. Okay, I've got a pretty sweet setup over here, and it's doing the job, but not completely.
Hey Josh, you think we can get him some flavors from craft vapory that he would actually prefer over smoking?
Yes.
Oh man, I love some good flavors.
I guarantee it.
We'll have to chat about that after the show. We're going to be talking about Josh and craft vapory a little bit later in the show, but right now we've got Stump the Chump.
Hell
Hell yeah.
Stump the Chump is our little game where we like to test each other's knowledge of pop culture.
Oh, man. I don't know if you can handle it this week, Duff. I got a feeling you're going down.
All right. Well, we'll have to see. I've got some pretty good doozies myself. Josh, I understand you didn't have time to make some clips up and send them our way. So, but you can gladly play along with us.
Yeah, that's my plan all along.
Great. All right. Well, I'm going to add you to the show notes so we can keep your score as well.
Nobody said there was going to be math on this test.
No math.
Just kidding.
Just got to add the points. That's all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I am going to ask Chris to take it away with round one, the music round. What you got for us?
All right. My music round. As you know, the only hit you're going to get on this song is that it comes from another Tony Hawk soundtrack. Because as you know, I love the shit out of my Tony Hawk.
That you do.
And this comes from the third Tony Hawk. So that narrows it down a little bit for you.
All right.
But see if you can get this. I'm looking for not only song title, but artist as well.
All right, great. Now, for those who haven't heard us play this game before, if you know the answer, whether you're in the live chat or your name is Josh, if you know it, don't blurt it out, because then I can be like, hey, it's blah, 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 just like Josh said. And yeah, it isn't good for good game. So without further ado, here is Chris's music pick. Aha. Oh, wow. You actually kept the title in there.
Yep.
All right.
And fucking cue the ice cream man at 7:30. Fuck you. Because that ice cream man's an asshole. I actually went down there and talked to him like last week. And I'm like, look, bro, I'm doing a radio show at fucking 7 o'clock. When you come around at 7:30, you're really fucking my day up. Either turn off the things when you get here or come earlier.
Yeah. Or just give me some really good ice cream.
Yeah, or just free, man. Right? Just free ice cream would make that whole thing go away.
Yes, it would. We could endorse the ice cream truck company and everything would be great. Right.
Time to show off his fucking little.
All right. Well, back onto the games and madness and fun. I know the song. Josh, do you have any guesses?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you know it.
Yep.
All right. So if I said Motorhead, you could finish the statement.
Ace of Spades.
Thank you very much.
Very good. I am proud of both of you. Which makes points. Me really wish I went harder on my movie choice.
Dude, you don't have to get me with everyone. Jesus Christ, man.
I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to pick stuff that I think you might know, but not quite like, oh, shit, tip of my tongue. What is it? Ah. And then I want you to see you go like this. Ah, fuck.
I want extra points for not blurting it out.
It doesn't kind of work like that, but you're a guest, okay. So give him an extra point.
No, I don't need one.
Yeah, I don't need any real points. I just want to be acknowledged that I'm usually the guy to blurt it out, and I didn't. So I'm proud of myself.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because then I'd have to spank you.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's
it just got weird in here. All
just
right.
got weird.
Oh,
yeah.
It just now got weird? No, it's like as soon as this thing gets turned on, it gets weird for me. All right, my music pick is a new track by a new artist.
Oh, shit.
And it is all over everywhere right now. So let's see if you guys are up on your new music. You ready?
I really hope this has been on my fucking XM sometime soon.
Well, I don't know. All right, here it goes.
Nobody.
All right.
I actually know this one.
Do you really?
I'm fucked, dude. I swear to God, I know it.
Wow. All right. Well, you need the artist and the track number, track name, rather.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give him a sec.
Oh, you looking at me?
Yeah. Do you know it?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. All right. Well, this is where it pays to have a sister who goes, no, no, no. You'll like it. You'll like it. Trust me. And then play it 5 subsequent times while you're letting her practice cutting men's hair. This happens to be 98% sure Tori Kelly, Nobody Love.
Wow. I am. God damn. All right.
Right?
Yeah, you're 98% correct.
Hell yeah. One.
Man, that's I'm surprised you got that, dude. I really am.
I am too. And you know what? If it was any other uppity chick voices that weren't like, you know, Taylor Swift or someone with an easy to pick out voice, I'd be fucked. So smart call with the new shit.
All right. Well, I'm rather ashamed that you know this. And for me, there's no shame in music. So all right, round two is the movie round. So what do you say to you intro clip?
Just for making fun of me for knowing that, I'm not going to give you an intro. Plus, I went really easy on this. Like, this movie is a cult classic. You should know it. But honestly, both of you should know it.
All right.
So
I'm considerably older than both of you.
So. You'll know it.
All right.
All right, here it is.
The day I get out of prison, my own brother picks me up in a police car.
Is you really up shit creek?
We gotta figure out some way to get that money. Honestly. It's like the penguin says. We gotta make that move towards redemption.
The bear, Dollywood! The bear!
Getting the band back together might not be that easy, Jay.
Lied.
It wasn't lies, it was just bullshit.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am.
All right. I'm kind of confused here because
I have a hint. I have a hint if you guys need it.
I don't need it.
You don't need it. All right. My man.
Well, so you know it, Josh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. 99% sure.
All right, Blues Brothers.
I'm going for 99. I want to hear you.
It's Blues Brothers.
I just said that.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yeah, but
we're on a mission from God.
Yeah, it's got. It's one of my favorite movies.
With a New Jersey accent.
No, we're on a mission from God. You got to use the Chicago accent.
Wow,
dude,
fuck you.
Their rendition of Minnie the Moocher is like bar none the best. And I love that that Princess Leia is shooting the fuckers.
Yeah, dude, she's all sitting there smoking.
Great
good
pick,
job man. To both of you. I had a feeling it would be very easy, so there's your layup.
All right, you like Vince Vaughn?
I do like Vince Vaughn. Give me some of that bone.
This is indeed the only hint I'm giving you. So here it is.
Oh heck! Let me just show you how it's done, Dad. How about a little percussion? Tap tap tappy, tap tap tappy, tap tap tappy, tap tap. And Mom, hi hat. Good mom. Excellent. And Gary, on the kick drum. Come, come. On the kick drum. Come, come. That's Gary. Come, come with the kick drum. Come. Come, come with the kick drum. Gary, on the kick drum. Come, come. That's Gary on the kick drum. Go. And Gary, in the house. Come, come. Come, come with the kick drum. Come, come.
Oh, this, okay. I'd rather yes. Be yes. All the banging
that he's doing. You know, Gary, that's your prerogative. That's your right. So listen. Meantime, I gotta talk to Brooke about something. It's called the bass line. Excuse me.
We're not gonna need the whole like Owner of a Lonely Heart, are we?
No, I mean we could.
All right. I know this. I know this movie.
I do too.
All right. Not everyone at once. Yeah. One, two, three.
The breakup.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
I like Vince Vaughn. I'm pretty much always entertained by him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vince Vaughn is good enough to make me watch a Jennifer Aniston movie.
How could wait? So, you need an excuse to look at Jennifer Aniston,
dude? Like,
I know I'm a little older than you, but like, can we just stop the show right here? Wait, I don't hear anything when she speaks. Secondly,
well, me neither because it's on mute.
For her age, maybe the hottest woman in Hollywood.
Agree.
Agree. Period. Just fucking for this earth, she is gorgeous.
Like every role she's ever played, I just want to like whack off in the movie theater, like Pee Wee Herman.
There's been times I wished I was Phoebe from Friends because they got like a change together.
Smelly cat. Gotta love it.
All right. Well, that's a point for me.
That is a point for you.
That's a two. All right.
Wait, how does he have 3 points?
Because he doesn't
I'm voting on picks. All of them.
You didn't get Tori Kelly.
He didn't need
to. I would have had 4 if I got Tori.
You all suck. I'm just saying.
It's tough. We're not going to win if he keeps kicking ass, man. So that's just fact.
All right, let's move on to the pop culture segment of our lovely game.
I'll definitely get this one wrong. If you go double points here, I don't know if I'm breaking your game. If you were to go double points for the last round, you guys could both eclipse me, or at least, or pass me.
Do you want to throw in double point stuff?
Sure.
I don't mean I don't want to fuck up your points. Show.
I don't know. I mean, I know Duff doesn't watch Cartoon Network, so Adult Swim shows are his fucking kryptonite. What about you, sir? Do you like Adult Swim? Because that's the only hint.
I like earlier Adult Swim, but I'm not very familiar with what's on there now.
This is fairly current.
Okay, I might be fucked here.
Yeah, I think we're all going to be fucked, and he knows that, which is why he is an asshole like that and just wants to do Adult Swim stuff all the time.
Not all the time. This is just what tickled my fancy today.
Yeah, and last time, and the time before last, and just shut up.
Which I've had like some home improvements in there and shit.
All right, here is your pop culture segment, clip, whatever. Thank you for vaping right on the mic.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one who gets yelled at for that. You yelled at everybody equally.
Oh, no, I used to yell at my old co-host, PJ, for doing that shit, like, all time.
On my show, I'm the mic Nazi, so I appreciate you being on it there, Duff.
No, you have a podcast.
That's right.
You'll have to talk about that in a little bit. Right now, we're going to play the pop culture clip from Chris. Here it is. All right, I don't even need to know what that is. I just know it's a direct fucking ripoff of the Doctor Who theme song.
I'm going to second that.
So that should be disqualified just for unoriginality.
I almost want to give you a half a point for knowing what they mimicked, but it is not even close to that.
No, so. I know it's not Doctor Who. It's a direct ripoff of Doctor Who. And no, I don't know what it is. What is it? Do you know, Josh?
No, not at all.
I'm just pissed. Like, I'm really pissed now because you don't fuck with the Doctor Who.
Man, I told you all the time about this show and how hysterical it is. Rick and Morty.
All right.
Yep. It's
Rick and Morty. No points for you.
no points for me. Not that I care. I just am enraged by their unoriginality. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, Duff. I really recommend watching this show. I honestly think it'll tickle your fancy.
All right. Is it on Netflix? Netflix?
It's on Hulu. And if you need it off the air, I can give you my password so you can check it out. All because right. It's
why don't you give your password on the air?
Because fuck you guys, three devices. Like, give that shit on the air. Fuck that.
All right. Well, I am an illegal pirate of my content for the most part. So I can just find it illegally. Any certain season that you want me to check out, sir?
Well, the second season is playing on live TV. So I would say season one.
Probably. Okay, as if there was much of a choice. All right, well, I'll start with season one, episode one then. All right, next on the pop culture category of our game is my pop culture clip. You will, of course, recognize the voice on this clip. I am looking for the show title.
Okay.
You ready?
Show title.
Here it is.
Please welcome back to the show, Kevin Smith. Let's zoom in on this. I love this. You got the public enemy button.
That goes back to my childhood, man. When I was like 87 or 88, I'm going out with Kim Lochran. And Kim Lochran is a huge Amy Grant fan in those days. I had a Christian girlfriend, so I was never getting laid. She loved Amy Grant, and I went to an album store, a record store. We bought records in those days. I was looking for a cassette of Amy Grant, and instead I saw the Public Enemy cassette. And I was just like, oh, man, I've heard this is really good. Mind you, this is pre-internet, so, like, you would hear from friends, like, you should hear this music. You couldn't just sample it for yourself. So I had a decision to make. Do I buy the Christian album for my girlfriend, or do I buy Public Enemy for me? And it set the tone for the rest of my life, because I was like, Public Enemy, you know?
All right. Of course we know it's Kevin Smith. That's, like, a no-duh. What show is that, and who is the host?
Play the first few seconds again.
Yeah,
he's
please.
Actually introing. Because obviously the whole time, Kevin Smith, once he starts talking, blah, blah, blah.
I know. He just doesn't shut the fuck up. All right, here it is.
Please welcome back to the show, Kevin Smith. Let's zoom in on this. I love this. You got the Public Enemy button.
That
right
goes
there.
Back to my childhood, man, when I was like 19.
Welcome to the show, Kevin Smith.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say it's Fallon.
Okay, and
That didn't sound like Jimmy Fallon.
I know.
He was telling a really old story.
Well, he loves to tell really old stories. You know that. You've seen him live.
Yeah, but...
So, all right, Josh thinks it's Fallon. Do you agree with Josh, or are you going to go with someone else?
It almost sounds like Jeff O'Neill, but I don't know.
So are we giving up here?
Carson. I don't know.
Carson? What the fuck?
No,
Kevin
Carson.
Would have been like seven.
Yeah, no, not Carson. What the fuck's his name? The teeth.
Letterman.
Letterman.
And you're wrong.
Letterman. Well, fuck you. That's all I had.
It's George Strombolopoulos tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
See what I... Hold on. Mister, I'm going to get mad at this motherfucker for playing something off Cartoon Network.
I was joking.
A show called George Strombolopoulos.
Strombolopoulos. Snuffleupagus.
Snuffleupagus. And asked me to pick his... What fucking network was he on?
Let's see.
Hi, where's the Google machine? I got to get Google up here.
I'm looking.
Snuffleupagus.
Yeah. He's not a real person. We made this.
Jimmy Kimmel? Jimmy Kimmel? Is that the show we're looking for?
I mean, I was looking for either Kimmel. I thought it was either Kimmel or Fallon, but it didn't sound like Kimmel to me.
George Strombolopoulos, Lama Lama Ding Dong, is a very, 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 very Canadian, very, very popular talk show host.
Canadian?
Yeah, he's Canadian.
It's not even a real place.
Canada is like where I imagine that Candyland actually happened.
I assure you, Canada is for real.
Somewhere between Ontario and Quebec.
I've actually been to Canada. It's a beautiful place. I have a lot of customers from Canada, so I can't really besmirch it. I did once go to a Formula race once in Canada, and our flight into Toronto was canceled, so we flew into Quebec.
Okay.
And drove from there to Toronto, which is basically like driving past that old school rotating like woods background from like TV shows, you know, where they just rotate the background and you'd stay in place because it was the same tree.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over and over again.
All right. Well,
lovely place.
Great. I've actually been to Canada too.
Okay, you know what? Just because of how obscure this is, you gave me an idea for next week.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whatever.
You want an obscure talk show? I got an obscure talk show.
All right.
Okay. And right. Make Canada. It's at least American.
All right, cool.
And at least somebody fucking famous is on it. So you might have a voice you might recognize.
So we all got it wrong?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everyone got everything wrong. I'm still the winner.
Well, yes, but not really.
Oh.
We are tied at 2 on our side, and you've got the guest point of 3. Right. I mean, yes, we could say you are the winner, but we do have a tiebreaker.
Oh, okay.
Do we want to play it, or we want to save him?
I think we should do the tiebreaker. I mean, even if we both get it, he still has that +1 hypothetical silence point. So
yeah, there you go.
Might just lose anyways.
All right.
So let's go ahead and give it a shot, buddy.
All right. What is the hint for the intro for your tiebreaker?
It is a music choice from a little while back, but they're still kicking it.
Okay. All right. Well, here it is. All right, Josh, any hints? Don't say it if you know it.
I know it.
You do know it. All right.
Yeah.
It is one of my this
artist and song.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it.
I mean, they said the title like 8 times in there, but I didn't feel like editing.
This is actually one of my favorite Ben & Jerry's flavors. It's farmhouse, otherwise known as Welcome, This Is a Farmhouse by Phish.
Yes. Yes. Yep. You got it.
I didn't know it was a Ben & Jerry's flavor.
Yeah, fish food.
I didn't know that either.
Fish food.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that counts. All right. You got it.
All right. Well, just like you, my tiebreaker is a piece of music. And you either know it or you don't know it. There's no hint required because you do know the song. It's whether or not you know who it is and what the title is.
One of these. Okay.
I think Josh won't have a problem getting this one right. So let's just take it away.
Jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you.
All right.
Yeah.
I know the artist too, so.
You do.
I do.
All right. What do you think, Josh? Do you know the artist?
I think it's okay. It's definitely Stuck in the Middle with You.
Yes.
I'm going to write this down just so this way.
Is it Steely Wheels?
Close, but no cigars.
So close.
Steelers wheels.
Actually, it's Steelers, S-T-E-A.
Wheel.
Steelers wheel,
it's
right?
It's Steelers wheel.
Yeah.
S-T-E-A-L-E-R. But I'll give you the point.
Yeah, well, look at my writing.
Yeah, look at that. You scratched it out.
I randomly say clowns to the left of me. Excuse me.
Bless you.
That's fine. I always got jokers to the right.
Yeah, in meetings and things like that. I'll slip that in from time to time. I should have known that. Steelers wheel.
Well, that was another fine segment of Stump the Chump right here on Rogan's Hill Prime. We do want to get on to talk to our guest, Josh Crane, from Craft Vapory. But we do have one quick announcement, and then we have something else we wanted to talk about. The one quick announcement that we've got is one of our most loyal fans, Mama B, she's actually in the chat room now, her and her husband celebrated their 16th wedding anniversary today. Happy anniversary, guys. We love you. Love Rogan Till.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah,
much love and happy anniversary, Mama B.
16 years is it ain't nothing to fuck with. That's pretty good. Well, we've still got some more prime for your ear holes, but wanted to take a quick moment to thank our network, Rogue Intel. Rogue Intel gives us the ability to speak our minds and be ourselves. Be sure to check out other great shows on the Rogue Intel Network by going to rogueintel.com. Want to help keep the network going, Chris?
Of course I want to help keep the network going. I always help keep the network going by going to rogueintel.com/Amazon.
Ah, great. Great choice of websites right there. If you
go to, I mean, anytime I want to shop for Amazon, that's where I go. Yeah. It doesn't charge me extra. Plus, we see a little bit of, you know, a little snoochie to a boochie.
Yeah, snoochie boochies. Quite honestly, I'm actually quite impressed by our numbers on Amazon this month because of you guys, fans of Rogue Intel. We are getting up there, and we are actually, I don't want to speak too loudly about this, but that's okay. It's just between us, right? Rogue Intel is in the process of incorporating.
But shh, that's our little secret.
Yeah, don't say nothing to anyone else. So, thank everyone out there who goes to rogueintel.com/Amazon and does their shopping the cool way.
I wish I would have known. I just bought several pairs of socks on Amazon.
Ah, you're a sock purchaser.
I was.
A purveyor of fine socks.
Well, it's my birthday tomorrow, and so every year I still get a gift certificate from my mother, which is, in her head, intended for socks and underwear. So I don't like to disappoint, so I bought like 10 pairs of socks on Amazon.
Nice.
Yesterday. And then several of them, they showed up today, which is just sort of amazing, the power of Amazon.
Yeah, like I ordered this here microphone, this Audio Technica ATR2100. I ordered it last Thursday, and I of course used rogueintel.com/Amazon to do so, which got Rogue Intel a little bit of chunk of that microphone money, and it actually came via USPS, United States Postal Service, for people who don't understand initials, on a Sunday. And I talked to the mail lady.
I've had some Sunday deliveries from USPS. They're fascinating.
It is in fact fascinating because they only, in our area anyway, they only deliver Amazon packages on Sunday. They don't deliver any other mail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here.
I love Amazon.
Me too.
Do you love us?
You guys?
Amazon better love us. I got Prime. So paying an extra fucking $100 a month for that 2-day shipping and the streaming service.
It's actually $100 a year.
Or $100 a year. Sorry, I fucked up.
I have Prime and Fresh. So
you have
I
Fresh?
Give,
and yeah. Fresh.
So you can get like 2-hour deliveries?
Same day grocery deliveries.
Holy crap, man. We don't have that out here.
I must be not so fresh, man, because I don't know what fresh is.
No, we don't get it out here.
In all areas. We have it here in LA. We get all of our groceries that way, and we get meat from the local butcher through Amazon, fruit from the local farmer's market from Amazon, and usually all delivered within 6 hours.
That's insane. I mean, I thought Peapod was cool.
Stuff. No, it's pretty amazing.
Dude, this is like a pothead's dream come true.
You mean, in other words, you
have fresh food that isn't ramen and not leave the fucking house?
And it's about the same as obviously you pay for the yearly subscription, but it's about the same as going to the local grocery store. Like that's, you know, the item for item, that's the same price.
Wow.
So the only extra you're paying is the... is a subscription, right?
And as long as it's $35 or more, delivery is included in your subscription. So, you know, for us, a family of four, it's pretty easy to get, you know, $200-$300 worth of groceries delivered a week. And they're at my front door. I tell my wife, hey, we're at a coffee creamer. And the next morning, there's a bunch of green Amazon bags sitting at my front door when I wake up. And one of them is coffee creamer. It's magical.
I'm just upset because according to Amazon Fresh's website, I am not in their delivery area. Like, not even my office in the city is in their delivery area.
I got to check that out because Jersey is the Garden State. Like, we got some banging farmers markets, man.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's great. They partner up with local businesses to source, you know, the perishable stuff, the meats, the vegetables. The dry goods, obviously, they, you know, Amazon can source themselves. But, yeah, the meat comes from the butcher, the same butcher that my wife would go to, you know, to get, you know, a roast or whatever it is. It's the same meat. And she can even call the butcher and say, hey, I just placed this order on Amazon. This is exactly what I'm looking for. And they'll prepare the meat and then send it along through Amazon. It's pretty fucking great.
Gotta love modern technology.
I'm checking it now. I got a website and it says put in your address and your zip code. I hit check address and nothing's happening.
Oh no, you broke Amazon.
I don't think I'm in their address, man.
All right. Now we've done a lot of talking about Amazon. We love Amazon, but you know what we love?
Free shit.
Yeah. So if you want to send us free shit, just email prime@rugintel.com and tell us what you want to send us. Make sure it's not illegal and send it our way.
Send me all of the illegal stuff.
No. I got dibs. Send me all of the green illegal stuff. Stuff that could potentially be a pizza topping.
Yeah, K-Bear in the chat room says she needs to move to L.A., and I agree.
Yeah, especially because all that green pizza topping is legal here.
Oh.
Wait, the pizza topping?
Yes.
Shrooms are legal out there?
No, not shrooms. The green pizza topping.
The green.
No, I said the green stuff and something that could potentially be a pizza topping.
Oh, yeah, no, the pizza topping is still illegal everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'm
like, it's a damn shame, too.
When I missed this, High Times didn't cover that.
All right. Well, no, something we love just as much as Amazon is we love really good vape supplies because we're all vapers here. And well, that's why. Hey, shut up. You're a vapor. You don't want to admit it. So that's why we wanted to bring on Josh Crane from Craft Vapery. Craft Vapery is a, well, I'd like to say if you remember Netflix when they did DVDs, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that, but for juice and atomizers and all sorts of vape supplies. Josh, tell us a little bit about Craft Vapery, how you started it, and how fucking awesome is it?
Well, let's start with the third question first. It's really fucking awesome. We started Craft about a year and a half ago, a little bit more now. And the idea being that when I started vaping and my partner Omri started vaping, there's just a lot of garbage in the market and you end up spending a ton of money trying to sort through what's good and what's not to get to stuff that you actually like. And whether that's hardware that's reliable or juices that are of a certain quality or just met, you know, the taste that you were looking to get, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there and, you know, sorting through the choice out there in the industry is really daunting for a new vapor. So we kind of wish that someone had been around to hold our hands. And, you know, in the end, we decided, okay, we'll have to be those people, right? If it doesn't exist, we'll have to create it. And so that's really what Craft was intended to be, was a way to filter through the noise in the industry and just focus in on the products that we thought were the best and of the best quality, and then recommend those to people, you know, on an individualized basis. So we started off with a subscription program. And users fill out a flavor profile, and there's 16 flavor categories, and they yum or yuck any combination that matches them. And they tell us a nicotine strength of their preference, you know, which goes all the way down to no nicotine. And then they tell us how many bottles they want every month. And then I have humans, curators, who go through that data, and they look at what you've had in the past, and they send you an individualized, hand-curated box of premium liquids that are a match to your flavor profile of a certain quality, a bar of quality that we uphold, and you know, and made responsibly. So you know, we're kind of doing the heavy lifting for you so that you can just enjoy vaping and it doesn't have to be an experiment.
Yeah. The end. Care Bear in the chat room, who is very near and dear to my heart, she's my wife, she says, Craft Vapery is pretty awesome. I love their handwritten notes and can't forget the M&Ms. Their flavors were really good. My only gripe is no 24. See, because let me explain something real quick before you say okay and then explain why. And I get why. My wife is a little bit, like, nutty. She has an Atlantis. Now, I love her, don't get me wrong, but she is a little like, she uses an Atlantis tank with a DNA 30 mod. She doesn't vape anything less than 24 mil.
She's a beast.
She is, like, I don't know how she has a throat left.
Yeah, I, wow. What do I say here that isn't, okay, I'm just going to pretend she's not your wife, and I'm going to say that that's a lot of nicotine.
Yes.
And, you know, if you've built up a tolerance to nicotine, it's probably fine. For the uninitiated, that is literally twice as strong as the strongest thing that I currently sell. I typically recommend that people that are using that high of a nicotine go up to a more powerful device and take in more nicotine at a lower strength. So to go down to an 18 or a 12 and then use a more powerful device to get to, you know, the amount of nicotine that you want per puff. But, you know, I mean, look, vaping is a very personal thing. It's very different for everyone. The flavors that everyone likes are very different. The, you know, the strengths that people like and need are very different. I would encourage, you know, your wife Care Bear to explore stepping down from something quite that strong. But that's, you know, that's, I encourage everyone to try and step down and ultimately be nicotine free.
Yeah. Yeah. And now is it truth or false that nicotine is no more damaging to your system than caffeine?
That is true.
Okay. That's what I thought. And I just wanted to make sure because you are a noted professional in the field.
Apparently.
Now, when you say stepping down and going to a more powerful device, are we talking like a double bat 18650 mod?
I don't think all that. I know that's not entirely necessary. There's plenty of single battery mods that go 70, 80, 120 watts. You know, more so, I would say drop down in the ohms on the atomizer. So, you know, in that Atlantis tank, if she's on the 0.5 atomizer, she should probably check out a 0.2 atomizer, you know, or 0.3 and a more powerful device than a DNA 20.
Yeah.
So, or 30, whichever one you mentioned. So,
yeah, hers won't fire with the 0.3 mods.
Yeah, you'll need to get a more powerful, kind of more current device. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, I was using 18 when I was using 2-ohm atomizers. Now that I'm at a 0.5-ohm atomizer, you know, 4 orders of magnitude, if you will, more powerful, I'm able to get down to a 3-milligram nicotine. I just get more vapor per puff.
Yeah.
So that would be my advice there.
Yeah. When I was wrapping coils, I used to do 3 and 6 mil. And, you know, I was happy with it. But it was one of those things where it, like, I just vaping too much left me feeling not right. It just, there was just too much vapor, I guess.
Well, too much nicotine, probably.
Well, it was 3 mil.
Yeah. But the size of the puff,
okay,
it really determines how much nicotine you're taking in.
All right. And yeah, and she doesn't do the long puffs. So that would explain why she's able to.
That's why she's still alive.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even with short puffs on a device with like 0.5 or less, when you're firing that thing, even on a straight battery, it still feels like a fucking freight train hitting you in the throat.
24 would put me on my knees. Like, you know, just absolutely bring me to my knees. Like the new Juul product from PAX, their new e-cig, is 50 milligram.
What the fuck?
But wait a minute, PAX? I thought they did dry herb vaporizers.
The company is PAX. They do dry herb vaporizers, but they also do e-cig products.
Oh.
And their newest product is called Juul, J-U-U-L. I tried it. It was like, holy shit, that's really strong. But when I thought about it, that's exactly what someone who's trying to quit smoking needs. Like, that's what Chris needs to not smoke anymore, is a couple puffs off of that thing at 50 milligrams. Like, okay, yep, I've just had my cigarette. I do not need any more of this. 3 puffs of that is like, whoa, all right, I don't need to vape for the next hour.
Yeah.
Well, the problem I have is, like, it just doesn't feel the same, you know what I mean? So, like, even when I go to a higher nic level, or if I'm puffing it at a higher wattage, it's not the right throat hit. Like, it'll punch me in the throat, but it won't, you know, hit it nicely. So, like, what would be your recommendation if I had like 6 mil nicotine with a 0.3 coil?
I mean, find a flavor that you like and stick it out for 3 days. By the end of those 3 days, you've broken the physiological addiction to the number of other things in cigarettes that you're actually addicted to that aren't nicotine. So the first 3 days vaping without a cigarette suck. But if you stick it out and, you know, find yourself a good, strong tobacco flavor and maybe potentially go up to 12 milligram at first. You'll get that throat grab for sure.
Oh yeah.
Do you think I should get like a tobacco flavor and not like the dessert vapes that I've been getting?
No, start with the tobaccos, because I think it's going to leave that more of that feeling and that sensation of having had smoked, you know, that kind of flavor and taste in your mouth. Most people move off of tobaccos once they're sort of established as being a vapor, but to really kind of get it to set in, I recommend tobaccos first for Josh, cigarette smokers. Yes.
What is your number one selling tobacco juice at Craft Vapery?
The number one selling tobacco juice is a vanilla custard tobacco, and it's from Ripe Vapes, and it's called, conveniently, VCT, for vanilla custard tobacco. It is head and shoulders the best-selling tobacco flavor that we've got. Also, Arson from All Day Vapes is a close second.
All right,
so vanilla custard tobacco.
And that'll actually, you know, Chris, that'll give you a little bit more like a blend of that kind of dessert and tobacco. And, you know, try a stronger nicotine to, you know, like if I'm drinking, which is when I really want a cigarette, I will go up, you know, from a 3 to a 6 and, you know, take a couple extra puffs off my vaporizer and I don't have any desire to smoke. If I was just on 3 and I was drinking, you know, the temptation's pretty strong. And I've been vaping for years, but so, you know, I mean, I think it takes a conscientious effort to quit smoking. You know, you're addicted to a lot more in that cigarette than just nicotine. As a matter of fact, recent studies have shown that nicotine by itself isn't really all that addictive.
No.
And it's really the other things in the cigarette that drive that wild, wild addiction that people experience.
Oh, I believe it, dude. Cause it is hard to quit. Even when you go like 5, 6, 7 days, like 2, 3 weeks, and you smell a cigarette, you're like, fuck, dude, can I just have the last puff of that, dude? Can I please
put
it out?
And then... You'll get to a point where you smell that and you get nauseated.
I do.
Yeah, like I have one of my best friends still smokes. I get in his car and I'm just like, ugh, gross. You know, and you can smell it on him. Like I give him a hug and it's like, yeah, you need to quit smoking. So, you know, I mean, I feel like the longer the further away from it you get, the less you'll like it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The last time I had a cigarette, and I have had cigarettes in the last 3 years, but you know, and it even got so bad where like my rig wasn't working and I was in Jersey on business and I did not have the resources to go out and get another rig. So I got a pack of cigarettes. I made it through like 4 and then I just gave the pack away. It was just absolutely disgusting. And you're talking to a guy who smoked since he was, God, I had my first cigarette at 9. Was Jeez. Smoking like a chimney from 16 on. I was sneaking them before 16 as much as I could get. And, you know, then I quit for 6 years. And then within a week of going back to it, I was back up to 2 packs a day. And now I can't even do a quarter a pack. It's amazing what vaping has done for my lungs, for my life. I used to always get the look of death when I go visit the parents. And I don't get that anymore. They just look at me goofy because I'm like blowing out like clouds of vapor.
Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of the whole idea. And at the end of the day, we don't claim that you can quit smoking with these devices because the FDA doesn't allow us to make that claim. But you can. And it's by far the most effective thing that's ever come up. And the only thing literally in the last 100 years of, you know, or really like 40 years of smoking prohibition that's been around in this country, vaping and e-cigs are the only thing that have caused an actual decline in cigarette consumption. So, you know, it's very important for me to combat the ills of tobacco. And, you know, and that's what Craft Vapery is really all about. So that the idea of giving someone excellent customer service and an excellent product and finding the best of the best that's out there for them so they don't have to hunt for it is all designed so that it helps to keep people on vaping and off of cigarettes. You know, and when I lose a customer because they say I'm done vaping because I've gotten off of cigarettes and now I've gotten off of vaping, that's a huge success story for me. But when I, you know, when I have a customer that can't get off their cigarettes, right, that to me is a loss.
Chris.
Right. So, you know, it's really, really important that we, you know, that this industry continue to flourish. And, you know, for me, that craft is continues to be successful, because at the end of the day, that's how I'm helping to combat the ills of tobacco.
Yeah. Now, I have a couple of questions about your actually your finally selected box subscription. I signed up for your box subscription. I believe I got like the three bottle plan, you know, just to try it out. And, you know, I had gotten the test unit because we were doing I was the producer of Vapor Reporter, which was a podcast that we used to have on our network. And, you know, so we got a test unit from you guys and we did a review on it and we loved it. So I actually signed up for it. And my wife and I absolutely loved the service. One of the really wicked cool things that I saw come out of the box was the trading cards. And I don't know if you guys call them trading cards.
We do.
All right, so trading cards. It's essentially flavor profile cards for all of the juice you sell. And it's hard cardstock. It's glossy fin. I mean, it looks like a Topps baseball card. It's fantastic, and it's a really cool collector's edition thing. Not even for collector's edition-ness. Not that that's a word I know. Shut up. But, you know, just, hey, I forget. Did I try that? And you can look in your box. And, right. Oh, yeah, look, I tried that, and I liked it because I put a smiley face sticker on it or whatever. So I really got to dig the attention to details there. Second on the list is like the first time I signed up, I got this. It was almost like a seductive love note minus all the like, let me suck your cock kind of thing. There was hearts drawn on it and it was like, yeah. Who did that? Whose idea was that?
We really love our customers. It was my idea.
Dude, rock on, man. You like, I got all tomato face and I was like, man, that's kind of hot.
Yeah, it's look, at the end of the day, it's a human driven service, right? We can build a bunch of computer algorithms that do this picking, but they'll never do it as good as people can do it. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of the concept of love. And so, you know, when you run an online business, demonstrating to your customers that you love and appreciate them is really difficult. So things like the handwritten notes, the little bag of candy, you know, that is our way of kind of saying, hey, this was packed, picked, chosen for you by a human being. And we really, you know, the letter is just one of those ways that we can demonstrate that. So now we've kind of grown so large that writing those letters is a real bear. You know, and I'm experimenting with different ways to continue that human touch, but not necessarily have a handwritten letter. And until I find that, we'll keep doing it. But, you know, I wanted a reminder to our customers that, you know, even though you're dealing with a website, we are real people. And that's pretty evident in our community on Facebook, in our customer service. You know, if anyone's ever had to call customer service, we try and make everything perfect, but we do make mistakes. You know, we deal with everything as if they're, you know, it's a very human problem. Because at the end of the day, these are real people with real addictions. And, you know, we're helping them. We're, in a lot of ways, we're addictions counselors as much as we are a vendor. And, you know, so the handwritten notes are just another way of kind of reminding people that, you know, we're there with them.
Well, right on.
That's awesome, man. I got to get on that subscription.
Yeah, and you got to quit smoking this.
Ooh, I also got to quit banging my knee on this.
Well, that's karma. Had you not been smoking.
Karma's a bitch. Yeah, had I not been smoking, I wouldn't have hit my knee on the desk. Thank you, Karma. You're a bitch.
See, now I want to watch My Name is Earl.
Why? Because you like watching him yell at the sky?
Karma!
Josh, another thing that I loved, and I didn't quite get it, but I loved it still the same. You have like M&Ms or some kind of like chocolatey hard coated, just goodness. Like
they were M&Ms.
Wow. That's just, it has nothing to do with vaping, but not that I can tell, but It's a cute little gimme, and I really dug it. I mean, you can tell it was human driven. You can tell that you guys are definitely passionate about what you do, and I absolutely love it. Now, if you don't mind, tell us a bit about the subscription service. What's it like? What are our options? And of course, you know, like just for an example, like what subscription box do you have?
Well, I practically live in the office, and we have really great relationships with our vendors. So I'm proud to say that I'm not a Kraft subscriber because I get all of my juice for free.
You bastard.
I'd be proud to say that too.
I haven't paid for it in a really long time. Now, okay. So as far as the subscription service, you can start off at 2 bottles a month. You can go up to 8. We're contemplating adding a 10-bottle box at the request of a lot of our customers. We have several people who get multiple boxes per month. So, you know, they're trying to save on shipping costs and all the rest because we can ship it all in one box. You fill out a flavor profile, and in that flavor profile, there's 16 flavor categories. And I think I mentioned this earlier. You yum or yuck any combination of those that matches you. And what you're doing is you're giving us a lot of data about what you like, what you don't like, and where the spaces in between are. And so, you know, then you can choose your nicotine strength. We've got 0, 3, 6, 12. We used to have 18. We've been in the process of discontinuing that, mostly because most juice vendors don't make 18s anymore.
No, it's hard to find.
Because the devices have gotten so powerful that most people want 3 or 6 milligram. And so, you know, the industry's kind of catering to the current demand. And then you basically hit submit, and what you're doing is you're entrusting my staff to go through the 200 brands, 720 different flavors that we currently carry, and pick a box that is specific for you. It's delivered every month. Your first one goes out within 24 hours. Then on your rebuild date, we've got up to 6 days to send out your secondary box. And that's just because we always have this promise that, you know, if you're first signing up, our thought is you are likely to be a smoker, and this is your first foray into vaping. Yeah. So we want to get you out that starter kit and their first box of juices really quickly, because you've got time to kind of sit there, and, you know, the longer it takes for us to get to you, the more smoking you're going to do. But, you know, with as many customers as we have, you know, things do get a little backed up. So we need a couple of days to just make sure that we can actually curate everyone's box appropriately. And once you're in our system for successive months, it gets harder and harder to curate for you, because we try and ensure that you don't get any duplicates. You don't see the same brand twice unless you've asked for it, or it's been a certain period of time. I believe it's like 5 or 6 months before you see a repeat from the same brand. But you're never going to get the same flavor again unless you opt into it or put it on your wish list. So in essence, the longer you're with us, the harder, the narrower and narrower it gets to kind of match for you. So we need a little more time for that. And then what you get in the box is, as you kind of mentioned a little bit, you get, you know, a branded Kraft box. All of your bottles are in there, kind of protected with foam. You get the trading cards, which explain the flavor profile and the flavor categories, the PG-VG ratio. It's got a picture of the bottle. It's got a drafted date, which some people think is the date that the bottle was actually made. It's not true. It's when we added them to our program. And, you know, so you got all the information about what you're vaping. You get the handwritten note. You know, typically you get, every once in a while, you get something kind of free from us, whether it's a juice cloth or we did sunglasses last summer. You know, we try and do extra premiums from time to time to keep people, you know, on their toes. And you get some information about how to share your best of the box online. You know, and the candy, and, you know, a little something sweet from us to you. You get the handwritten note, and that's, you know, that's the idea, is that you get everything that you really need to be a vapor every month. You can also opt into replacement atomizers for a number of the most popular tanks, Kanger, Aspire. You can now opt into some nickel Ni-200 coils for temperature sensing devices. And for those people that build their own coils, you can't opt into the wire, but you can opt into wick, which is really, you go through wick a lot faster than you go through anything else. So, it's pretty, I love the service. You know, if I wasn't the owner, I certainly would be a subscriber. It's exactly what I wished had existed when I started vaping.
Well, I love that you're doing this, and I love that you're providing this service for people like me, like Chris, like I'm sure millions of others out there that are just sick and tired of being ripped off by shit juice.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you. One, after my first subscription box, you guys sent me something called Nice. It was Nice Juice. It was Young Berry Crunch. And I fell the hell in love with that juice, and I couldn't find it anywhere else. And so I did a special order from your website, and unfortunately, one of the two bottles I ordered was, like, out of stock. And I was like, oh, shit. And now I'm looking at your website, and it's out of stock. And it's like, damn it, I love that. When are you going to get more of that in? Because I absolutely love that juice.
Okay, so the reality of it is that it would be near impossible for me to keep everything in stock at one time. So what I do is I stock against consumer demand.
Okay.
So we've got a little wish list feature on our website, and the more that people click that wish list feature, the more that we know that people want that juice, and the faster we are to reorder it. But when you've got 200 plus vendors, you know, that are supplying juice and 700 plus flavors in the system, there's no way I could order all 700 flavors every month.
Oh, I'm not saying you could. So, I'm begging you, please, like, let me know when that shit is in stock, and I will, like, I'll basically buy several.
Sign up for a reminder. So not only hit that wish list function, but also click that button that says
notify me.
And that will let us know that you want it. And then once it goes back into stock, you'll be automatically notified that we do have it.
All right, great. Well, thank you for that. Now, speaking of juices, you told me something during pre-show that was fantastic news for my ears. You have your own flavor of juices now.
We just launched Craft Vapery certifiably vapable liquids. There are three flavors in the line. And what we did was we took all of the data that we've got from our customers and we looked at where the holes were. We looked at, you know, even though we categorize everything into a primary, secondary, and tertiary flavor category, we kind of looked at what was missing from, you know, the overall palate. And what we really found that was missing was savory. There's a lot of sweet, there's a lot of fruit, there's not a lot of good savory. And so what we wanted to do was start to introduce flavors that were both sweet and savory, but different than everything else that was out there. And we tested those flavors with our subscribers. We had a test group that would get sample bottles along with their box. It was an extra bottle. And then they'd give us feedback online. And we use that feedback to refine the flavors. So some of these flavors have been testing with our customers for over a year. And we just last week launched the line. So there's three flavors in the line. And the flavors are cornbread, which is a cornbread with honey butter. It's toast, which is a strawberry jam on nutty whole grain toast. And then sticky rice, which is a classical Thai mango sticky rice dessert. So those are the three flavors. We just introduced them last week. Sales have started to go on our website and through, you know, vape shops all around the country. And the response has been pretty phenomenal. You know, they are truly different and unique. And, you know, we've seen hundreds of strawberry milk flavors and hundreds of, you know, red vine, not hundreds, but several dozen different red vines and red licorice flavors. Yeah. But there are no other cornbreads. And there are no other toasts. So what we try to do is really make things that were unique and hadn't been done, or if they had been done, hadn't been done the way that we would have done them.
Well, I am astounded. I am a huge fan of toast. I'm a big guy. I like my bread.
Me too. Me too.
I can't wait to get my hands on some of that. I see that it is available on your online store.
Yes.
I definitely want to pick some
up. Stock, by the way.
Yeah. Now, my question to you is, like, what if I fall in love with it? I'm one of those guys, like, if I fall in love with the flavor, I want to get like a ketchup size bottle. And I just want to go to town.
You can buy 120 mil bottle right now in 3 milligram. We will have 120 mils available in about 3 or 4 weeks in all of the nicotine strengths, as well as 30 mil bottles. Right now, it's only available in 15s. You know, literally, as it's rolling off of the production, you know, the production line, I'm putting it on sale. So we did 15s first, 30s are next, and then 120s will be behind that.
We've got to get the hookup on that, man. We've just got to do
it. Luckily, you know the owner of the company.
that we do.
All right.
Because, you know, my big thing right now is getting Chris off nicotine, because I give him shit every time I see him light up. And
yeah, I want to give him shit every time he lines up, too. So
lines up?
Isn't that the 80s?
It doesn't have to be the 80s anymore, man.
Well, knowing the owner or not, I still want to sign up for this. So my question is, do you get to select the size of the bottles?
Yes. Oh, well, no, they're all 15 mil bottles.
Okay.
In this subscription. Or 20 in the case of Nice Juice.
Yeah, every once in a while we sub in a 20 or a 30. We do that at our discretion. You're paying for 15s.
Okay. Well, that factors into how many bottles I'm going to want to get, you know?
Yeah. Think of them as always coming as 15s, and every once in a while there'll be a nice surprise in the box.
Yeah, they really treat you well. They treat you better than any other subscription box company I've ever dealt with. Ever.
And if you sign up right now, or at least in the next couple of weeks, every member of the program is getting a free bottle of our juice, one of our three flavors. You can either request the one that you want, or we'll pick one that we think best matches your flavor profile. And that's going on, started last week, goes on for a month. And then everyone that was in our tester program that helped us test the flavors, they're getting the whole line for free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just our way of saying thanks. Because, you know, we use their data. And so, and we're really proud of what came of that. And, you know, given that it was a collaborative effort, the least I can do is, you know, get them a bottle of juice so that they can enjoy it.
Well, rock on, man. Mm. I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, before we get on to one last thing that I wanted to discuss,
sure.
Because something you told me during pre-show, I just have to ask about on air. Mm-hmm. Before we stop talking about your vapor side, do you have anything you want to pimp? Any links? Any events going on or anything like that?
Oh, for sure.
Pimp away.
Well, please do come check us out, subscribe, and you can also shop in our online shop at www.craftvapery.com, V-A-P-E-R-Y. We do have a really robust community on Facebook. It's a Facebook group called We Are Craft Vapors. It's a closed group. You have to request access, but we're pretty giving in who we let in there.
So I might be able to get in?
Yeah, anybody can get in. as long as you're not there to post a bunch of spam. Pretty much everyone gets in, and certainly follow us there. I also do a podcast every week where I interview different luminaries from the industry, whether it's juice makers or mod makers or influencers and reviewers from around the industry. That drops every Thursday night, and we post the links in our Facebook, on our blog, and in our Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And that podcast is called The Vapecast. We recently renamed it from The Craftcast, which someone else owns, so we had to change the name. And it's a lovely podcast about knitting. So we changed our name to The Vapecast. And if you're out there and you're a smoker, I want to help you quit. I'm not supposed to say that. The FDA doesn't like me saying that. The Attorney General doesn't like me saying that. But I want to help you quit. And so the best thing I can do is provide you with an alternative, and that is vaping. And that is the mission that we're out to do, is we're out to get as many smokers off of cigarettes as possible and get them vaping. As far as events, we do the annual awards ceremony. We're the judges, and we run the program for the Vape Summit. Next one of those is in Houston in October. And we will be there not only with the Craft Vapery certifiably vapable liquids, but also as the judges for the awards. So if you're near to Houston, we would love to see you at that show. And otherwise, you can come interact with me and a number of our staff right in that Facebook group. We're very, very active in there and active with our customers.
Awesome. Mama B in the chat room, happy anniversary again, Mama B. They want to know, or she wants to know, do you have a spam flavor?
No.
I don't like spam. Sorry. Couldn't resist.
No spam flavor. Meats are very underrepresented.
See, you should get on that.
Vaping. Yeah, I've often called for, I want the entire Thanksgiving bacon. Dinner, the turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing. I want it all. But so far, not so much.
You should talk to Willy Wonka about that. I'm sure he's got something going.
I feel like a chicken franchise, like a lot of garlic.
Yeah. I think we'll start to see some dinner flavors. I don't know how popular they'll be, but I think someone will try.
I don't know. Well, I'm signing up for a box now. If you feel like finding my box and sticking in a surprise dinner flavor, I'll test it for you.
Yes, his name is Chris Stracola from Northeast New Jersey.
Okay.
That's great.
Keep on the lookout for that. So no spam flavoring added.
No. Sorry, Mama B.
All right. Now, something that you talked about during pre-show, and I just had to ask, you said something about G4, or otherwise known as G4 Tech TV. I was a huge fan. I mean, I actually first learned about podcasting by Kevin Rose and, of course, the lovely Leo Laporte at Twit TV. Well, the rest is history, and now I'm doing it, too. Now, that's actually fully fledged tech TV, but you said something about being a founder of G4.
Yeah, I was one of the seven founders of G4 TV. So I was there from the very formation of the network. I helped to develop a number of the original launch programming on G4. I was part of the mergers and acquisitions team that did the merger and purchase of tech TV.
Wow.
I was one of the few people that championed keeping the screensavers, which ultimately became Attack of the Show. So I was there from the early beginnings, right up into, pretty close to where it eventually died and became Esquire. So, I was there for the full history of G4 and when they became G4 Tech TV and then back to G4 again. I was there all throughout it.
Well, Josh, on behalf of nerds worldwide, we want to thank you for your service to humanity.
Sure. You and 12 other people actually watched it.
11, because I was one of those 12.
Hey, yeah, so was I.
Look, at the end of the day, people don't want to watch video game content on TV. They want to watch it on the internet. They want to watch it on their game console. The original concept just didn't work for linear TV. They're not going to tune in to X-Play at 9:30 p.m. and sort through three or four reviews of games that they're not interested in to get to that review of the game that they are interested in. So, and then when you try and make lifestyle programming for that demographic, it's hit or miss.
I really loved your history of Atari that you guys did.
Oh, the Icons show was one of my favorites. That's one of the shows that I developed originally.
I love you, man.
And look, we tried. Some of those shows were really fantastic and way before their time. Some of those shows were never going to work. But someone had to try. And ultimately, a lot of the people from G4 went on to start and run Machinima.com, which really was what G4 should have been all along, on-demand programming that you could dial into, exactly what subject you were interested in, whether it was a particular game or a piece of hardware or whatever. So, I just don't think G4 was always a much larger success online in terms of eyeballs and viewers than it was on TV, which is a big problem when all of your money is sunk into making the TV program successful.
Well, it didn't help that you had to buy like a $120 satellite subscription or digital cable subscription just to access the channel.
Yeah. Well, and that's how these people get paid.
Yeah. I love a la carte.
I'm terrified of the future of cable, but that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. Well, we talk about that kind of stuff all the time. So if you want to come back on, feel free to do so. We'd love to have you.
Sure. I mean, I did win Stump the Chump, so.
Yeah, you did.
I should.
You made us a couple of chumps.
Yeah.
Well, you unfairly let me vote on every round, so really I shouldn't have won. Look, it was a fun experience. I learned a lot. And, the most important thing is I worked with some of the most talented young talent in Hollywood. And there were a lot of really great careers, you know, in entertainment that were born out of G4. You know, Kevin Rose is just one kind of success story. Kevin Prera is another. You know, there were, you know, Ian Edelberg, who went on to make, you know, several TV shows on HBO. You know, there were some really, really talented people in the early days of G4, and I was, you know, kind of blessed to be surrounded by them.
Yeah. Well, we love the work you did. We love the work you do. And I think it's time to end the show.
All right.
Because I think Chris is getting a little bit tired. I can see him dozing off.
I'm not dozing off, buddy. I'm submitting my order for a 6-bottle subscription.
Nice.
I love it. Guys, I want to thank you so much for having me on. This was a lot of fun. I took the day off today, and this is the only thing I kept on my calendar. Right. And I didn't record my show this week. My guest ended up canceling. So, you know, I saved all of my podcast thunder for you guys. So thanks. I had a lot of fun.
Oh, sure. Well, you'll have to come back. Of course, if you want to invite us on your show, we'll be glad to not cancel on you.
Great. I will definitely keep that in mind, Jeff.
Not that we are, you know, like pioneers in the juice game or the vaping game. But hey, we're a podcast network. We're in the new. So anyway, well, let me get off my soapbox here. Chris, you have anything you want to say before we let this cool cat go?
I don't know, man. I just want to say I'm looking forward to getting that box of your juice.
Oh, dude, you're going to flip out. Craft Vapery is the shit, man. I absolutely love them. Josh, thanks again for coming on. You have been listening to Rogue Intel Prime on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. If you want to check us out, you can do so by going to rogueintel.com. You can, of course, hit us up at Amazon. You can go to rogueintel.com/Amazon and go do your shopping and give us a little bit of cash. You can call us 410-989-1734. Check us out on Stitcher and iTunes. Please leave us a review. Send us an email, prime@rogueintel.com. And I do not want to finish the rest of this outro. Thanks again for coming on, Josh. And Chris, thank you for making it. Anything you want to say?
I love you all. You are my favorite people. I can't wait to see you next week.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Here's what you're missing by not being a Rogue Intel contributor. Find out more at rogueintel.com/support.
Have you ever heard the movie Rampage or In the Name of the King or any of that?
Rampage, yes. In the Name of the King, no.
Okay, the guy who wrote and directed Rampage, his name is Uwe Boll. We actually had him on our network a couple months back.
I know him.
You actually know him or know of him?
Well, I've met him. We had him on G4.
Oh, wait, G4, what's that?
G4 TV, the
Wait a minute. That's what I thought, because like G4 Tech TV was like the shit back in the day.
Thank you.
Wait, you were.
I was one of the 7 founders of G4.
Fucking holy shit! Why? The more you know.
We get you for vapes and shit, and we're like, hey, by the way, I founded fucking G4.
I mean, I know you didn't have a whole lot to do with it because that was like part of the merger, but I fucking love Kevin Rose and I love Screensavers.
Yeah. I did too. That's why I tried really hard to get it saved, and it ultimately became Attack of the Show.
Yeah.
Which was a different show.
It was a good show, but it was kind of one of those.
It went downhill after, you know, when it became dick jokes and people in fat suits, it was kind of, the magic was over.